First, it's time for Food Friday. Okay, we get it, we're all busy people, but cooking a delicious and beautiful meal doesn't always have to mean hours and hours in the kitchen. With the right ingredients and techniques and a little preparation, you might just be able to whip up a gourmet-style meal a lot faster than you think. And Dori Greenspan is here to help. Dori is a New York Times Magazine food columnist and James Beard Award-winning cookbook author. Her latest cookbook is Everyday Dori, The Way I Cook. She'll be at Boswell Books in Milwaukee on Saturday, November 3rd. Dori, welcome back to Central Time.
So good to be back with you. Thank you.
Well, this book is stuff you make, you know, around the house for friends and whatever, and that made me wonder. You've made a recipe or two in your time. What is it that makes a recipe stand out to you, Dori, that you want to make it at home? It's part of your day-to-day repertoire.
Well, it has to be simple. I'm a practical cook, so it has to be practical. It can't be high, you know, like really heavy on technique because I don't have great technique. And it has to be delicious. It has to be, I like when a recipe has a little surprise in it. So I'm always adding something unexpected to a dish. It doesn't take any more effort to make something delicious and surprising and kind of munchable. Like you take one spoonful and you want to take another. So that's kind of it. You know, simple, practical, delicious. Those are the three things I look for.
And one thing that I love in the cookbook, for a lot of the recipes, you've got a little sidebar called play around. So, okay, here's the basic recipe. Now, here's the thing you can do different, or if you don't have the right ingredient or whatever. Why is play important for you in the kitchen?
Look, a girl's got to have fun. You know, when you're making dinner every night, I think it's really important to enjoy every bit of the process. That the preparation should be as enjoyable as the serving it and sharing it with family and friends. But my little playing around boxes are, again, my sense of being practical. I've been living the past 8 years. I've been spending most of my time in an area where it's not so easy to get to a supermarket. And so often I'll want to make something, open the fridge and find I don't, or the pantry and find I don't have the ingredient. And so I find substitutions for it, or I find ways to make, if I've made a recipe I love, find a way to just vary it a little. And so I like to give home cooks those suggestions so that you're not bound to the recipe. You should follow the basic instructions, but you can make it so that it'll be what you and your family want to eat, or it'll take into account what you do and do not have. I want everybody in the kitchen cooking, so I'm trying to make it as easy as possible to make delicious food. I feel like that's my mission in life.
And another thing you do on a lot of your recipes here that I love is, you know, I get home from work, I want to turn around a meal pretty quick, or people come home from whatever, church, you want to get that brunch going fast. You've got a lot of advice on, okay, here are the steps in this recipe you can do the morning before or the day before. Talk about why that has helped you as a cook and could help us too.
Well, it's, you know, you feel like a master of the universe when you can just pull things together without much effort. And planning ahead is one way to do it. It's the most important. It's the easiest way to do it, I think. So every time a recipe can be made ahead, I let you know. I mean, one of my favorite recipes is the oven charred tomato stuffed peppers. And I love them because they're beautiful. I love them because they're delicious. I love them because you can make the peppers ahead, keep them in the fridge, roast them when you have time, and you can serve the dish either hot, warm, or at room temperature. And I think when you can make something ahead and when you can serve it at room temperature, when it's as delicious at room temperature as it is when it comes just out of the oven, I think that's a real boon for all of us who are busy.
Talking to Dori Greenspan. Her new cookbook is Everyday Dori, The Way I Cook. She's with us for this edition of Food Friday. You shared a few recipes with us, Dori. We have them online, by the way, at WPR.org/Food Friday. This is a nice comforting sounding food for the fall. Maple syrup and mustard Brussels sprouts. Now, Dori, if somebody said, Rob, put together three flavors. These are not the three things I probably would come up with, but this, you say, works?
Why do you sound so doubtful?
Well, I don't know.
Yes, it works.
It's like a recipe Mad Lib, if you ask me. But I want to hear more about it.
Well, actually, recipe Mad Lib, now that's a good way of cooking. So Brussels sprouts are, you know, as we get into the colder weather, we're really depending on root vegetables and vegetables like Brussels sprouts and looking for ways to make them more interesting. So the mustard really adds pop. I mean, Brussels sprouts are really earthy, so the mustard kind of breathes them up a little bit and gives them some pizzazz. Bacon is a traditional great go with Brussels sprouts. And the maple syrup just rounds everything out, makes it just a little sweet against the garlic and the shallots. Cider vinegar, optional, but cider vinegar is a great last-minute addition to so many dishes, like lemon juice. Something to just take, add a little zing to a dish that's really comforting.
It's funny you say that, because lately, just in the last year or so, I think probably inspired by somebody on Food Friday, when I have that food, a soup or whatever, that I think, oh, this needs that little extra something right at the end, some kind of vinegar or lemon is what really puts it over the top. Is that something you do a lot at the tail end?
Absolutely. So a little bit of lemon juice, some lemon zest. I mean, I never want to be without a lemon. I never want to be without salt. I never want to be without mustard. Those are three things that will really pick a dish up. And when you put them in at the end, when they're not cooked into the dish, that's when you get their full flavor. And that's when it adds just that extra bit that brings the dish up and makes people take notice.
Again, we have that maple syrup and mustard Brussels sprouts over at WPR.org/Food Friday if you're intrigued. I'm one over. I think I'll give that a try. One recipe that I saw in the book, Dory, we don't have this one up, but I had to ask about it. I love winter squash. I've got a lot sitting around now. I love just cooking it out down and having it for whatever. You've got a winter squash hummus. You make a hummus out of squash. Tell us about that.
So you get, I mean, who doesn't love hummus? But we're kind of used to it now. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun if it felt more like fall and winter rather than just a little snack? And so roasting the squash, gives you another layer of flavor in the hummus. And I also added some za'atar, which is an Israeli spice. You can add some dried oregano and dried thyme. Again, lemon juice, because tahini and squash, they're kind of flat flavors, delicious, but they need, again, that lift. And I added some yogurt to make it a lighter, brighter, tangier dish.
Now, is this something we're going to eat and we're going to think, oh, this is just normal hummus? Oh, surprise, there's squash in it? Or no, does it really have a characteristic, different flavor? This is a squashy-tasting hummus.
This is a squashy-tasting hummus.
But the
traditionalists will probably be at my door saying, you called that hummus? You're not allowed to do that. But it will have that mix and that element of surprise and a beautiful color.
And you don't lie awake at night, Dory, if I'm reading you right, worrying about what traditionalists will say about any kind of food. Am I right?
I don't. I mean, unless I'm really trying to make, a perfect French cassoulet as it is made in the southwestern part of France. I cook. I actually lie awake thinking about new recipes, but I don't worry about being traditional. I worry about making food that people will want to make at home, that they'll love sharing, and that will be delicious. That's what keeps me up at night.
It's Food Friday, and food writer Dory Greenspan is with us to share some simple, elegant meals. Her new cookbook is Everyday Dory, The Way I Cook. She's sharing some recipes that she likes to make for friends and family when they're over. This is day-to-day cooking stuff, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have a go-to recipe or two when you're having friends or family over? Do you have that one thing that you think is actually pretty easy to make, but it blows people away? They love it. They think you put hours and hours in the kitchen. Or do you have a question for Dory about how to cook something, or maybe an inspiration for something to make this weekend? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. More recipes coming up on Food Friday here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Dori Greenspan is with us for this week's edition of Food Friday. She's a New York Times Magazine food columnist and a James Beard Award-winning cookbook author. Her latest cookbook is Everyday Dori, The Way I Cook. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have that favorite go-to impress somebody meal that is actually easier than it looks? Or do you have a question for Dori about how to make that kind of meal? And have you gotten a recipe from Dori's work, or her past cookbooks, or her column that you've gone to maybe again and again? Now's the time to give her a call and let her know. Call in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Dori, I want to get to another recipe. And you've got a great kind of one pan recipe, a sheet pan supper recipe, balsamic chicken with baby potatoes and mushrooms. Talk us through this one.
So sheet pan suppers are very popular and for good reason. You just put the sheet pan in the oven, pull it out, serve dinner. And so this is chicken with potatoes. I use small potatoes, and I just have them if they're large. Some mushrooms, some onion, some fresh herbs, and balsamic vinegar and olive oil. And so the chicken, everything comes out at the same time, of course, browned, juicy, lots of flavor, because the balsamic, which is slightly sweet, when it roasts in the oven, gets that another flavor. It's sweet, but it also has just a little edge to it, which I really love with the chicken. Again, it's a dish that takes no effort, and yet, you have to work to put the chicken in the oven, but it's a really easy dish that comes out looking beautiful.
And you make go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I say I'm not a person. I'm not a decorator. I don't decorate my cakes with a lot of stuff. I don't decorate my food platters with a lot of extra ingredients. I really like when the food itself is beautiful and inviting. And that's what you'll get with this dish.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Randy on the line in Madison. Randy, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what did you want to ask about, Randy?
So one of the things my family really enjoys is pasta, and they particularly enjoy when I do homemade pasta. I haven't figured out a great way to make a large batch and store it so that it keeps well for use later in the week. Wondering if there's advice about that.
Okay, and Dori, I love homemade pasta. When other people make it, it's a bridge I haven't crossed yet. Do you have any advice on larger batches and storage?
No, I don't, because like you, I ooh and ah when someone makes pasta for me, but I don't always do it. I rarely actually do it for myself. But Randy, I wonder, do you, when you make your pasta, do you cook it right after it's been made? You could dry it.
Yeah, normally I do. Yeah, normally I whip it up, roll it out, and it's in the pot, within 30 minutes later is normally how I do it.
Yeah, of course, because that's the joy of freshly made pasta. But you might not, if you dry it, you won't get the same texture, but you will get the same joy being able to say, I made this by hand. I don't have a good answer for you. I'm sorry.
All right. Good luck, Randy. And you can make some and bring it over here to the studio next time. And Dori, we had another caller who couldn't stay on the line. They want to expand their palate to include cooking with lamb. What's a good, straightforward, hard to mess up way to cook lamb?
So I actually have a recipe that I love. I love when you say way not to, not to mess it up.
Sorry, that's I'm inserting my own editorial, because that's what I would worry about there.
Well, I have a dish that you don't have to worry about. A lamb roast, of course, I don't think it's all that easy. It's easy to overcook. I have a recipe for a rolled leg of lamb that I think is great, but my easiest lamb recipe, and this is one I really love, is lamb shanks cooked with tomatoes, canned tomatoes, white wine, chicken broth, some olives, some tangerine zest. And so it's just a simple braise. You just brown the lamb shanks, and you cook them slowly in this mixture. If you have any left, I mean, I love this. I also use the same tomato, olive, tangerine mix for osso buco or for lamb shanks that have been cut like osso buco. It's delicious when you make it. If you shred the leftovers, this leftover lamb and the sauce are fabulous over pasta. Maybe we could get Randy to make the pasta,
yeah,
and I'll make the sauce, right?
That sounds great. And how do I make sure I don't overcook that lamb, though?
There's no way you can overcook it. It's a braise.
Okay.
The more you cook it, the better it will get.
That sounds fantastic.
It'll be soft, it'll be soft, tender, falling off the bone soft. You cannot overcook it. It's the perfect lamb dish if you're concerned about how best to cook lamb.
We're talking to Dori Greenspan. Her new cookbook is Everyday Dori, The Way I Cook. Dori, some people give a lot of rules in their cookbooks. You don't. I found exactly one rule in your cookbook, and that is a meal has to include dessert.
That's my golden rule. That's the rule I insist on. Yes. So I like to give people freedom in the kitchen, and then I become, a disciplinarian. You must eat your dessert.
And you shared one. We've got a third recipe now at WPR.org/Food Friday. This sounds interesting. Chocolate-covered chai tea bars. Tell us about this.
Oh, so this is such a nice recipe. The chai and the bar itself, the not really cookie, it's cake bar, has tangerine or orange. It has honey. It has chai tea. It has cinnamon and ginger. So it has the flavors that are in the bar enhance the flavor that you get from chai tea. And you make the bar. You just, mix the batter, bake it. It's super, super simple. And it comes out. It's very thin. It's a very slender bar. And then you melt milk chocolate. That's optional, but so good. And just swish it, swirl it, smooth it over the bars. Again, this is the kind of dessert or the kind of food that I love because it looks like a thin brownie, and then you taste it and you say, what is in this? I love it, but it's kind of mysterious. Actually, it's kind of haunted. You can't quite put your finger on it. You just know you like it, and you haven't tasted it before.
A good haunting recipe for Halloween. Let's go back to our callers now. Marty is with us in Douglas County. Marty, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Say, I have a quick suggestion for the guy who's looking how to store freshly made pasta. A friend of mine used to date a guy whose parents were Italian, and you'd go to their house on Sunday and walk through the living room, and all of the furniture backs would be draped with pasta. There'd be, over the couch, over the chair. So try draping it over an easy chair to dry it out. Maybe that'll work. Dori, I'm sick and tired of kale. I've had it with kale, but for some reason I just bought a big bunch of organic red kale today. Please give me something new and interesting to do with this boring old vegetable.
Bring back her love of kale, Dori.
Okay, so I think what you should make, is this tomato tart that I really love. I make my own crust, but you could use a store-bought crust if you wanted to. And so in the crust is you have tomatoes. They can be grape tomatoes or cherry tomatoes, which even out of season taste good. There's ricotta cheese. There's a mixture of egg and cream. There's a bunch of grainy French mustard, and there's enough kale for you to use, enough of what you bought to make you feel that you made a good purchase.
All right, Marty, I hope that gives you some inspiration. In our last couple of minutes, Dori, you mentioned in that, that tart, you can use the store-bought pie crust. And I'll say sometimes when I take that kind of shortcut, getting the pre-made crust or whatever, I feel a little guilty. Like, if I'm doing this, I'm not really cooking. Can you absolve me from my guilt.
It's so funny. I was just going to say, I was going to raise my hand. My hands were already up as you were speaking and say, I absolve you. You know, I started out by saying that you should try and find pleasure in the kitchen, that you should try and make being in the kitchen fun. What's really important about cooking is the fact that you're doing it, that you're making something with your hands, that you're sharing it with people, that you've got friends and family around the table, and you're providing a way for them to be together and enjoy one another. That's more important than whether you made the crust by yourself or you bought it at the supermarket.
And Dori, do you have a highlight of what you're going to be cooking this weekend?
So this weekend, I am going to make, because I have a million things to do this weekend, I'm going to make a really quick and delicious, dinner. I'm going to make sweet chili chicken thighs. So it's chicken thighs that are made with Thai sweet chili sauce. And so you get all of the flavor from a bottle. You don't need to do any work.
Love it. Dori, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me back again.
That's Dori Greenspan, New York Times Magazine food columnist and James Beard Award-winning cookbook author. Her latest cookbook is Everyday Dori, The Way I Cook. She'll be at Boswell Books in Milwaukee on November 3rd. And we've got three of her recipes from that cookbook available for you to make this weekend if you want to. Here's the recipes. There's the sheet pan balsamic chicken, the maple syrup and mustard Brussels sprouts, and the chocolate-covered chai tea bars. All kind of pronunciation challenges, but I got through them all okay. You can find those recipes and make them at home. They're over at wpr.org/foodfriday. Let us know how it went over the weekend.